You need to know that I've been quietly interceding this afternoon because you mob are going to be unbearable if you win tonight. Anyway, good job, worship team and dance team and all those people there. You know, yeah, I think it is a good thing to give them a big hand. We rock up just before meetings start. Come in. People like those folks that have been standing on stage here tonight, they've been here a long time before we got here, getting the equipment ready, getting the heart ready, getting the music ready. And, you know, I think it's just a good thing in church life to encourage those people that put in so much effort to just make church such a wonderful experience that we'll enjoy week after week after week. So good job. And Nick, you didn't mind letting that little black man out of you either. You wild man. When God created me, he left out only two fairly important aspects regarding music. Timing and melody. Other than that, I'm pretty good. And I look at these folks and, well, I'm jealous. Would you open your Bibles right up the front again? We're going to stay somewhere near where we were last night. And thrilled to hear so many people have already been acquiring a lot of the teaching series that are out there. There's only just a couple, I think, of that Psalm 23 series. It is a pathway to healing. He restores my soul. God is as interested in your emotions as he is in your physical well-being and your spiritual well-being. We're created body, soul, and spirit. And the mind to succeed. See, I actually believe that with the heart we believe, but with the head we behave. And a whole lot of that stuff's pretty well all gone. But if I can just direct your attention to maybe a couple more. I decided every year in the life of our church to do at least one series on God. Novel thing to talk about. The subject of God. And I'm about to do a whole series on taking a fresh look at this one called Jesus. But my recent series was called Our Friend the Holy Spirit. And there's a fair bit of confusion in churches like yours and mine about the Holy Spirit. He's more than an experience. He's more than a feeling. He's very much God. And I did a four-week series on God the Holy Spirit, the Spirit with you, the Spirit upon you, the Spirit in you, and what it means to be baptized in the power of the Holy Spirit. And some of us just could do with some teaching on that. And, you know, it's quite a helpful little study in there to help you with your small groups. Hearing the voice of God is the key to just your future. Knowing God's speaking to us more than we know. You know, and I'm not talking the weird stuff. I'm over weird. I'm living the other side of weird. But God does speak to us. And just knowing it's so often a still small voice. It's tiny. But if you hear it and you know it and you respond, it'll set you up. And mums and dads, I said last night, I'm the father of one boy just finishing university, another one just finishing high school. My church is predominantly under 25. And a lot of university students and high school students that were told and are being told on a weekly basis that their great-great-great-great-great-grandfather was slime that got lucky, crawled out of the pond, grew a tail, swung around the tree for a while, put on a suit and went to get a job in Wall Street. And I'm just over that. See, if we don't believe we have an origin, we won't believe we have a destiny. And I did a series late last year called Designer Genes, G-E-N-E-S, and I actually did 2 years of medical studies. And it was just, I get very, very, very few opportunities to show off the little bit I still remember. And this was it. Now, I got doctors in my church and I ran it by them and it's all just, you know, here's what the Bible says. You were fearfully and wonderfully made. You were made. You didn't happen. And some things in there, just understanding the human body and the fact that we are a spirit that lives in a tent called the human body, and how that all goes, well, that's all cool, and there's only a few of all of those, but they help you, that's good, and everybody's happy. Genesis chapter 2. We were in Genesis chapter 1 last night, and we discovered that the God that we were worshiping in this place tonight is creator and hence creative. Tonight I want us to go into the second chapter, and we'll find that amazing God entrusting a human being with an incredible responsibility. Genesis chapter 2, the 19th verse. Out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the air, and he brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. I want you to catch this. And whatever, say whatever. And whatever Adam called each living creature, that was its name. God, this was, you talk about a cue. God lined up every living creature. And he said to Adam, this is actually the first real job we find Adam actually having to perform. And God says, okay, Adam, here's all the animals. What you call them, that's what they are. And so he saw this big fat thing coming down with a big trunk, and he said, elephant. He said, okay, that's what it is. And he saw this thing with a long neck, could eat the top off the trees, giraffe. Saw this phenomenal mammal that didn't even need four legs to get around. He said, you're incredible, wallaby. Saw this insipid little bird that couldn't even fly. K1W1. And whatever he called them, they were. Who in this room have given their pet at some stage a weird name? You know, there are whole websites dedicated to pets with weird names. I get off. I'm somewhat distracted in life, and I dived onto some websites and I cannot believe what some people call their pets. I mean, here's just a couple that I came across. Lieutenant Colonel Puddles von Puddingworth III. That'd have to be a poodle. I have a friend and lived on sort of a semi-rural area outside of town, and he had a dog called Defa. Defa dog. This is the truth. His cat's name was Sifa, yes. And yes, he had a goat called Jifa. Defa dog, Sifa cat, and Jifa goat. Whatever he called them, they were. Now, your name is a declaration. It's a powerful statement. What you call it. See, I can call Sheridan friend. And if I call him friend, what I call him, he becomes. I can call him foe. What I call you, you become. On that great day that I was born, my parents looked at me and said, and he shall be called Wayne. Now, I've got friends that tell me their name means kingly, princely, rulers of the universe. So one day, I got this. In fact, it was when one of my boys was just about to be born and one of these baby books was around, so I got these names out. I thought, okay, I'm going to find out. So I went to the back of the book, Wayne. You know what my name means? Wagon maker. What the? And he shall be called wagon maker, hippie, what you call things, they become. We had a little dog when I was growing up. See, my parents know that every boy needs a dog. You know, when there are times when in a boy's life, there's only two people he can talk to. He's God and his dog. And it was important. Dog knew a lot. And it was a little fox terrier and it had spots on. Guess what we called him? Spotty, yes! See, he didn't even have the spots till we declared over him, you shall be called Spotty. People are writing that down. Spot. Now, Spotty was a particularly religious dog. We lived in a very strong Catholic area. And every Saturday night, the Catholic neighbours would go off to Mass, St. William's, on Dawson Parade in Groveley. And Spotty went with the Fays to St. William's every Saturday night. But alas, one Saturday night, after having been in Mass, Spotty, like Enoch, just walked and went. He was not. For he joined the bulldog on the front of a Mack truck, straight to heaven. Now, yeah, sad. I mean, I'm shattered. I'm still getting therapy. But my parents thought, we need to replace Spotty. So they went to the pet shop and the only thing we could get was a Scots Terrier. Guess what we called him? Scotty! See, we only had to change one letter on the kennel. It was brilliant economics. Adam was given the job. Whatever you call these things, they become. Now, sporting teams know this. Sporting teams know that their name is a declaration. So they give themselves names like the Roar, the Heat, the Glory, you know, the Warriors. They give themselves powerful names which speak to themselves. We're the Warriors. We're the Glory. We're the Heat. Broncos. When was the last time you saw a champion team called the Snails? Or the Fizzers or the Plodders? See, we know that. And understanding this, that what we call things, they have the power to become, means that we've got to be a little bit careful with the way we treat each other. Parents, the way you treat your children. My youngest son and I, we pulled up in front of his school. He was about fifth grade. As he went out of the car one day, I said, "Hey, before you get out of this car, boy, look at me." He said, "What are you?" "I'm a champion." "Yes, you are. Now, when you get out, you walk like it, talk like it." "All right." Saw him get out. He's a pretty cool kid. Now, I watch other kids get out of cars at school, and they're called a pain in the neck. They're called an accident of birth. They're called a waste of space. Nuisance. What you call people, they become. So husbands, your choice. Do you want to be married to a queen or a nag? What you call her? What you call her? Ladies, you can either call that husband of yours couch potato, slob, or try this one. Monday, when he comes home from work, swing the door open and go, "Oh, object of my desire, how I've longed for you. These, you watch that old boy. He'll suck this in. He'll walk different. Because what you call him,
he'll begin to talk like Barry White.
What you call him, he becomes." It's your identity. What you declare becomes an identity. Now come with me, we're going somewhere. Identity is very important. I like really good movies. How many like good movies? Won't dob in Ray, who went to Batman today. Won't tell anybody that he was there. Tells me it's good. Lots and lots of story, movies, powerful, powerful. Life-changing. Toy Story, now there was a movie. One of my favourites is the series of movies on Bourne. Jason Bourne, the Bourne Identity. Oh yeah, now we're talking, yeah. Jason Bourne was a CIA operative and the system took him and turned him from a human being to a human doing. And they completely recalibrated his identity and changed his name as part of the process. And he became Jason Bourne. But as these series of movies are unfolding, we get into the second and third movie and we discover his name is not Jason Bourne. That's an alias. His name is David Webb. And the struggle inside, because what they were calling him, somehow he knew that wasn't him. People were calling him something different to what he knew he was. They were calling him Jason Bourne, but he knew he was David Webb. He had an AKA. Some people in this room have got an AKA. You have a name, but AKA victim, AKA useless, struggler, person with problems. Tonight I want us to go to the book of Luke. Come with me, because there's something I want us to have a very important look at. We're going to stay in and around chapter 1 of Luke for a few minutes, because there's a couple of very important points that I want us to grab tonight. Luke chapter 1, verse 5 and 6. Here's my first thought. Don't let the wrong people name you. You're David Webb, not Jason Bourne. Don't let the wrong people name you. Here we go. There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the division of Abijah. His wife was one of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. Now they were both righteous before God and walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord. They were blameless. Are we agreed that Zacharias and Elizabeth were good people? They were good people. Come with me to verse 11. One day, Zach is working around the church. The angel of the Lord appears to him, standing on the right side of the altar. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled. Fear fell on him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard." Now, I want you to notice this. Zach had been praying for a son. "Your prayer is heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear a son. And you will call his name" what? John. John means "the Lord is gracious" or "grace." Zacharias, you've been praying for many, 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 many years. See, here's a little lesson. A lot of us have been praying, but while we've been praying, we actually haven't been believing. And so prayer simply becomes a religious exercise, which literally takes away the guilt in case the pastor says, "How's your prayer life?" But are we actually believing for results to flow out of that prayer life? Zacharias was praying for a son. An angel turns up and says, "The Lord Almighty has told me you are going to have a son, and I want you to declare over him grace." Look what happens. Verse 18. Zacharias said, "How can this happen? For I am old and my wife is well advanced in years." Verse 20. The angel's literally very disappointed with him. He says, "Okay, here's the deal. You will be mute and you will not able to speak until the day that these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their own time." God is wanting to make a declaration and you won't put God's words on your lips, therefore you're going to be silenced. Listen to me. It is important sometimes, for the sake of the future of our plans, our ministry, our family, and our church, that some voices, even the voices of good people who do not have faith, they need to be silenced. In the year 2000, God called us out of youth ministry, thankfully. I was 42 years of age, still doing youth music. I'm industrially deaf. It's all fun. God began to stir my heart for a church in the inner city of Brisbane. We went, and when we began to tell people, "We are going to go to Fortitude Valley," you know what they said to us? "That's a pastor's graveyard." There's one declaration. They said, "You know that church that you're talking about? It's got a glass ceiling on it. Nobody can build a church bigger than 500 in Fortitude Valley. Don't you know it's in the red light district? Therefore, no families will come. No self-respecting Aussie family is going to turn up with their children there. It's violent, it's dark, it's this, it's that. Teenagers won't come to the valley on a Friday or a Saturday night. Listen, at best you'll have a very small church with a very small youth ministry of hardly non-existent families and your children's ministry, blah, 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 blah. We actually had to get to a point where we said, you know what? Until some people get it, we're just not going to hang around them because they're making declarations which are starting to get in the air. And I'm actually at a point where I need to say, I'm sorry. I'm not listening. You in my life for this next season have got to be mute. I'm not talking about being rude. I'm not talking about being aggressive. But friends, let me tell you something. Some of us are listening to the wrong voices. Some of us are allowing the wrong people to speak over our marriage, over our kids, over our church, over our business, over our family. Oh, they're saying right now, you turn the news on. Your country and mine, we're heading for a recession. Oh, businesses, it's tough out there. Now listen, there are some realities out there, but let me tell you something. I'm not moved by what I read in the newspaper. I'm moved by what I read in here. And I serve Jehovah Jireh, who said, I would that you prosper and be in health. So who are we going to allow to speak over these things? Some of you leaders and pastors that have stayed on for this conference, you've allowed the wrong people to make declarations over your church. Oh, this is the part. I don't know how many places I've been. I don't know. I can't count them. Places where I've met where pastors say, you know what? There's witches' covens all around here. And this is spiritual. There's strongholds all over this place. This is where Satan's got his seat. Mate, he's got lots of seats because I've met lots of pastors who pastor churches where Satan's got his seat. You know my problem with all of that? I've read the book. You know what it says? Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Listen, Satan so hated heaven because all the praise went to God. He was the choir leader that couldn't cope with it. He gets kicked out. Do you know what? He so craves praise that if he can't get praise, you know what he'll settle for? Attention. And some Christians fall into his trap and they spend too much time talking about the darkness. You don't want to know how, here's a key how to fight darkness. Write this down. Turn on a light. Stop focusing on the darkness. Stop declaring the darkness. Turn on the light. Turn on the light. People of no faith have no right to speak into your future. And cynics have no right to speak into your future. Some of you are believing for significant things and you're allowing the wrong people to speak over it. They might even attend church, like Zacharias and Elizabeth, but it doesn't mean they've got faith. No faith. For years, my family and I and a few other families, we used to holiday in northern New South Wales, just across the border of Queensland. And there's a little town spelt T-U-M-B-U-L-G-U-M. How would you say that? Tumblegum. We called it Tumblegum for years. It's just got the best river to water ski on. And we used to ski on there for years and years. One day, we're in a shop on the riverbank, went in to get some supplies, and we're talking to this lady, and she seemed a little bit highbrow. And for some reason, we dropped the name of that town. We said, we really like it here at Tumblegum. And she went, Tumblegum. I said, pardon? It's not Tumblegum, it's Tumblegum. And we said, oh, really? And like ever since, our family, isn't it good when we go to Morgan? Now, apparently that's the name. Now, in our heart, we still call it Tumblegum. Mate, Tumblegum. But she wants us to know it's Tumblegum. So we go, Tumblegum. Yeah, right. See, some of you tell your friends, you have this incredible dream to do something great for God, and they go, oh, really?
dream. Chosen. Called. Yeah, right. Tumbulgum. Are you healed? Yeah, right. I remember when I was naive like that as a young believer. Then I got mature and I reasoned all of my faith away. Tumbulgum. You be careful that you allow to mess with your plans, your dreams, your ministry, your church. Be very, very careful. I remember one day I was driving down the road. My dad, I was working for him. He's 80. He works for me now. It's just cool. It's called revenge. And But I was his youth pastor. I was about 24 years of age. And I'm driving this guest speaker, right? A minister. He's driving to the airport. He'd preached in our church. Not a bad communicator. Pretty good. I remember he turning to me, and he was older than me, and you know, he asked this question. I'm driving down the highway. He says, "Sir Wayne, what do you think you'll be doing when you're 40? And I actually thought it was a genuine question. He was interested in me, so I told him. You know what he did? He laughed. He said, "Who do you think you are?" And you know what? Kind of did something in here. Rattled my confidence. Be really careful. Are you allowed to speak over your future, your life, your dreams, the call of God on your life? Verse 62, same chapter. Months unfold. Elizabeth has a baby. This is a funny little thought here. There's a baby being born. Now remember what God told the angel to tell Zacharias? His name will be called what? John. Grace. Declare grace. There is a season. There is something about to change. Declare grace. Or there's something even greater coming. And let me tell you something. Grace always comes before the greater. The baby's born. Man, there's some funny things in the Bible. Here's one. They made signs to the father what he would be called. He was mute, not deaf. He couldn't speak, but he could still hear. And they're making signs. First syllable sounds like. He asked for a writing tablet. And he wrote, "His name will be called John." And they marveled. Immediately his mouth was open, his tongue was loosed, and he spoke praising God. They actually said, "There's no one in his family." No, it's a new day. Let me tell you something. It's a new day for the church in New Zealand. I've been coming here several times a year for the last few years, probably 7, 8 years now, and I can see something building, 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 and you need to start declaring it's a new day. Stop moaning and groaning about the fact that in the 70s we had a great move of God. That was 30 years ago. This is a new day. Begin to declare, this is a day the Lord has made. We will rejoice. Look out, New Zealand. Here comes the church. It will rise and shine, for its light has come. It's a new day. You can feel it. Now here's the second thought. Still in Luke chapter 1. There is power in living in what God has called you. Jesus. Luke chapter 1. And behold, here's another angel. Comes to a little girl called Mary. Man, what a challenge. She's unmarried, she's a teenager, she's Jewish, and the angel comes to give her good news. You're pregnant. You've found favor with God. Verse 31, and behold, you will conceive. Here's another classic. You will conceive in your womb. Where else would you conceive? In your elbow. Write that down. You will conceive in your womb. And you will bring forth a son, and you will call his name Jesus, the Lord saves. Something very powerful has just happened here. John, grace. Declare grace before you declare salvation. Don't call Zacharias and Elizabeth's son law or judgment, because neither opens the way to a life-changing, saving experience. Grace had to come before salvation. God chooses the name of his son. Mary, that son that you are carrying, that has been conceived in a very powerful and holy way, his name is Jesus. The stepfather, Joseph, to whom she was betrothed, also, you read the story in Matthew chapter 1, he also has an incredible angelic visitation. He's told, again, the same thing. His name, Mary, to whom you're engaged, will have a child. His name is Jesus. Call him Jesus. That's it. So grateful that neither Mary nor Joseph argued. They just called that thing as done. They began to declare salvation. Now, chapter 3. Flick the page. Chapter 3. Jesus, salvation, comes to the Jordan to be baptized by John, grace. Can I say to every new Christian in this place, get baptized in water. I give you a good reason. Jesus did. I'm waiting till I understand it more. Get baptized and you'll understand it. It's just obedience. Repent and be baptized. Threw that in for free. Jesus, verse 21, when the people were being baptized, it came to pass that salvation, Jesus, was baptized. And while he prayed, the heaven was opened, the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove upon him. And then there came a voice from heaven saying, you are my beloved son, in you I am well pleased. Now, Jesus has already been named. He walked through life for 30 years knowing he was salvation. Then in obedience, he gets baptized. As he's coming out of the water, there is a voice from heaven. It is his Father. Now, the one who knows his identity is being affirmed by the Father. This is my boy. Been talking to some of the guys about their sons. Something about the relationship a father has with his son or his daughter. I go to a hockey match or a soccer match and my boys score a goal just before full time. I turn around and introduce myself to people I don't even know. Whose boy is that? In him I am well pleased. Affirming him. We had Australia's leading child psychologist come to our church this year. In fact, he comes regularly, has a good relationship with our church. But he spoke to our men's conference, Dad, every ear open. He said, for 40 years I've been going to court with children. Children who get into strife with the law all across our nation. And this was his observation. In 40 years of going to court for children who have messed up delinquent behavior, he said, I've never been to court with a young boy or a young lady that has a good relationship with their dad. 40 years. There is something powerful in the affirmation of a father. Now you can say, oh yeah, well Jesus was the Son of God. He was. He was the Son of God. He was the Son of Man. And he knew who he was. There was a declaration over him. But oh, laminated now by the voice of his Father, affirmed. He knew who he was. His identity and his mission were caught in the declaration that had been made over him. He also had an AKA. He said, I'm also Emmanuel. God with us. People said, show us God. He said, you want to see God? Bah, if you see me, you've seen God. Talk about being secure in who he was. Now, this Jesus, who is being baptized, is filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. By the way, this does not mean all your troubles go away. In fact, for Jesus, look what happens in chapter 4. He who's now filled with the Spirit is being led by the Spirit to be tempted. Jesus was very secure. But now it's a whole new deal. See, if you don't know who you are, you'll do stupid things. I grew up my teenage years completely away from God, got into a lot of trouble, broke my parents' heart. You know why? I was trying to prove I wasn't some mamby-pamby preacher's kid. Wasn't comfortable with my identity and did dumb things. And you can say, oh, what a stupid teenager. Let me tell you something. I've met 40, 50, and 60-year-olds still doing dumb things because they don't know who they are. Caught in the grip of insecurity. Don't have their identity. Don't live with the affirmation, the voice of a heavenly Father ringing in their spirit. Jesus did. He's now filled with the Spirit. Verse 1, we won't read it, but right through from the 1st to the 13th verse, Jesus encounters the devil. There is a real devil. Just as much as there is a kingdom of light, there is a kingdom of darkness. Both have leadership over it. The devil, the leader of the kingdom of darkness, comes to the Son of God, salvation, and attacks him in the three key areas. The Bible later on picks up those areas where every human being is tempted. The pride of life, the lust of the eye, and the lust of the flesh. And on every occasion, when Jesus is attacked, he says three powerful words in response. Go on. The devil says, go and do a dumb thing. Here's the little word he uses to try and snare Jesus. Are you ready for it? It's only got two letters. I-F. If. If you're the Son of God. If. Challenge to his identity. If you don't know who you are, do something stupid. Cast yourself down. Turn rocks into bread. Go on. Come on. And Jesus responded with, it is written. And people go, that's the key. You just got to know the Bible. No. That's not the whole story. Because I know lots and lots of people that can quote you lots and lots of Bible verses that still live very, very insecure. Now, am I saying don't read the Bible? No. Get into the Bible, but get into the Bible for the right reasons. See, if you get into the Bible for the wrong reasons, you'll start using this book as a hammer to beat people up. You'll start using this to justify your bias. You'll treat people with disdain. You'll start convincing people that this book is filled with hundreds of reasons why God's mad at them. It is written, yeah. But it wasn't just because Jesus knew the word, please. He knew he was the word. He knew who he was. He knew who he was. His authority was found in his identity. And the authority that was in his identity brought him the victory. He defeats the devil. He goes over, crawls under a log. The Bible then says, come with me. In Luke, still in chapter 4 now, Jesus comes back now in the power of the Spirit. He arrives, and some Bible teachers will say that it wasn't just Jesus picked up the scrolls and went to a particular chapter, but that it seems that it was specifically set aside for that day that the reading would come from the book of Isaiah. 18th verse of Luke 4:18, Jesus declares, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because. Say because. We've got to know our because. Jesus said, I have the power of heaven upon me because God loves bound, broken, and blind people, and he's going to use me to change their lives, and as I change their lives, we're going to change the world. All because he knew who he was. He had authority that came behind his message. See, if there's no authority in your message, it's going to be just a little bit out of sync. You ever watched a movie and it's not quite right? Isn't that annoying? Hello there. It annoys them. Daylight's out of you. Sometimes the world looks at us and goes, their lifestyle and their message aren't quite. Because we're wrestling with this thing called identity. Come on, music team, come up. But don't turn off, folks. Don't turn off. The Bible is full of clues. Because some of us, remember we used to play a little game when we were kids. Who am I? You know what? You open this book, you'll actually find who you are. You'll find it out. You probably scroll through up on the screen. There's a whole lot. Maybe just put four or five up on there on who you are. John chapter 1, 12th verse tells me that God, Jesus came to his own people. They didn't all receive him, but to as many as received him, to them he gave the power to become children of the living God. You know what the Bible tells me? You are the child of God. Another one says in Colossians 2:10 says you are complete in him. Young people, music, movies, television, magazines will tell you you're incomplete unless you've got someone of the opposite sex hanging on your arm. That you're a half person and you find another half person, you become a whole person. Let me tell you, you are a whole person. And don't even get into a relationship with a half person. Two whole people come to form one whole and holy relationship. You are complete in him. Give us another one. Awesome. 2 Corinthians 5:17. If anyone's in Christ, he is a new creation. Some versions say a new person. The old has been dealt with and the new. You're a new person in Christ. Oh, there's so many more. You're the righteousness of God in Christ. Ephesians 2:20, you are his workmanship. Romans 8:37, you have been made more. Say more. More than a conqueror. Can I make a confession? I like The Simpsons. One of my all-time favorite Simpsons shows. Lisa, the hope of the family. Oh, help Lisa, Jesus. She wants to get ahead in life. She's pursuing an education. Her teacher was away on leave, and she had a relief teacher, a Jewish man called Mr. Bergstrom. Mr. Bergstrom was awesome, because not only did he teach these kids the three R's, reading, writing, and arithmetic, he taught them more. Taught them the real issues of life. And Lisa loved Mr. Bergstrom. To her shock, one day she arrived at school to find out that Mr. Bergstrom's time was up and he was going. By the time she found out, he'd already got to the Springfield railway station, jumped on a train, and was about to leave. So she ran as fast as she could, got down to the station. And as she got there, the train was pulling out and she cried out, "Mr. Bergstrom, Mr. Bergstrom, I can't believe you're leaving us." And she cried out as the train was about to take him out of sight. She said, "Just give me something I can live on now that you've gone." You know what he said? This Jewish teacher, he pointed at her and said, "You are Lisa Simpson and God." Some of you are sitting there going, right. That's this book. Jesus is sitting with his disciples. You read it in Matthew 16. Who do people say I am? Oh, well, you know, one of the prophets, one of the law, who knows? Could even be John the Baptist. Yeah, okay. Who do you say I am? And a guy called Simon, that's what they called him. It meant reed. Easily influenced one. Simon said, "Well, I'll tell you who you are. You're the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus said, "Flip." That's in the Amplified. He said, "You've had help with that one. Flesh and blood hasn't revealed this to you, Simon Reed." He said, "You know what? From this day on, I'm going to call you Peter, Petros, Rock. Substance. Because now that you get me, I'm going to help you get you. Now, Peter, come on. Let's build the church. Expansive, energetic, and unstoppable. You're Peter. And on this rock, on the foundation of men and women that get who I am and have the confidence to walk through life with an identity that hasn't been declared over them by people that have all messed up, but by living life with an identity that comes from the maker of the universe, that can speak creative words and cause things to be, even though they are not, to become as though they are. People that live life knowing who they are. We can build the church. Some of you are going back to other places of work and places of other churches that are represented here. Can I encourage you? This isn't just some, you know, looking in the mirror every way and every day I'm getting better and better. No. That's looking in this book and declaring who we are. This stuff set me free. Yeah, I got filled with the Holy Spirit at 20 years of age. Thank God for it. But let me tell you something. A second revolution happened in me a few years later. I was a little skinny kid that spent my life gripped with fear and shyness. God set me free when I discovered who I am. And ever since then, been playing my little part in changing the world. Maybe it's time some of us made some decisions tonight and said, you know what? I'm going to reject those negative declarations. I'm not who they said I am. If God had let Zacharias speak, I wonder what he would have called his son. Could have called him disappointment. Ichabod, the glory of God has departed. Who knows what he could have called him? But God had a plan and he said, I want you to put on your lips my plans. Grace and then salvation. Some of us lived under, it was supposed to be funny when we were growing up. They gave me nicknames, they gave you nicknames. And some of us, they weren't things you could just easily laugh off. We used to say when we were growing up, sticks and stones will break my bones and words will never hurt me. But we worked that out one day that it was actually a lie. Because you can patch up where some of the sticks and stones hit, but the stuff with words had done. Actually needs a lot of healing. I wonder if you'd join with me in standing here tonight. I wonder if some of us not only need to reject, but we need to begin to declare who we are. Our AKA in Jesus Christ. I've spent weeks and weeks and weeks in my church with our young adults on a Sunday night. Every verse in the Bible that I could find, the words in Christ, in Jesus, in Christ Jesus, we've looked over and over and over. There's scores of them. It's been amazing. The Bible study. And people are getting set free. And people are coming to Christ by the busload. Because people want to live in the power of who God calls them. They are. Why don't we sing this worship song to the Lord? Why don't we, some of us as we do that, just need to raise our hands. Even for some of us just doing that. See, we were called conservative. We've called ourselves moderate. Maybe it's time to say, hang on. Casting that aside. Going to begin to declare who I am. Some of us need to just, even before you get to use the words of a song, begin to say, you know what, I refuse to believe that I am average, that I'm a failure, that I'm a victim, that I'll always be, that I can never amount to. I refuse to believe that. I shut that down. I call that thing, that voice, mute from this day on. Bow your head before you. Just, we need to do something right now. Pastors, leaders, mums, dads, kids, single people. Some of us are struggling in various areas of life, and there's been stuff spoken, and it's literally stuck here. And tonight we say, you know what? I'm not believing that anymore. It's over. The Bible tells me that the great key to victorious Christian living is cast down arguments. An argument is simply a clash between a lie and a truth. And the lies that have been declared, you say, I'm actually rejecting that. I'm rejecting the negative connotations of that nickname. I'm rejecting what people have said about me, my future, my life, my family, my ministry, my plans. I reject that. If that's you, raise your hands. I'm not believing that stuff anymore. Raise your hands to heaven. I'm not believing that anymore. That's a lie. It's a lie. And I want you to whisper to God. Say, God, I refuse to believe that. Never again is it going to be even on my lips. Some of you in your heart, you believe you're healed, but people have said, well, you know, not many people get over that. And there's just been seeds of doubt. I want you to cast it down. Just say, God, I'm raising my hand and I'm whispering to you, God, I refuse to believe that anymore. I let it go. I call it as naught. It's over. It's finished with. Finished. Dito. Done. Complete. Gone. In Jesus' name, I pray that the negative power of those words and those names that have gone over your life, that have affected your heart, your mind, your ministry, your relationship, and your future, I pray from this day on, as you reject them, that there would be a spiritual release comes to your heart, your mind, your lifestyle, your speech, your ministry, the way you relate to God and to others. I pray there would be a victory and a freedom and a joy and a faith and a life and a peace that literally would bring such vitality to your own spirit in Jesus' name. Be free of that stuff. You are not that. You are who God says you are through Jesus Christ. Some of you, literally, if you refuse to believe that, you can go to all new levels in life. You know what Paul said to Timothy? He said, son, the words, the prophecies that have gone over your life, I want you to recall them and with them fight a good fight. Some of us have had prophecies, promises, the word of God that's been dormant in our heart for too long regarding stuff, people, ministry, breakthrough, finances, blessing, all sorts of things. And tonight, even as we stand there, the declarations, the things God said about you, they're coming, they're stirring. If I'm talking to you right now, I want you to raise both hands to heaven. There's something in your heart. With them, fight a good fight. Now, we're not no longer wrestling with the negative stuff. We're declaring what God said. We're beginning to put on our lips God's word. The things He said, we're beginning to say, we declare grace. We declare salvation. We declare what God... I want you to begin to speak it out in the name of Jesus. Father, we today declare who we are. We're more than conquerors. We're people that are chosen. We're a royal priesthood. You singled us out. And in singling us out, you made declarations over our lives, over our families, over our churches, over the towns and cities we're called to. And we tonight remind ourselves of what you called us, of your declarations. And with that, we fight a fight. With that, we feel faith rise. And we, Lord, we believe, we choose to believe you. We choose to say what you say about our lives and circumstances. Come on, worship Him. Come on, worship Him. Give Him praise. We lift you up. You, God, are our declaration. I'm going to pray for some Christian leaders in a minute. I'm going to pray for some people that are wrestling long term with some illnesses in just a minute. But before we do that, I need to give some people in this room the opportunity to do what their heart's telling them it's time to do. You know why it's a very important thing to talk about names? Because the Bible tells me God has a book. It's full of names. It's just full of names. And the names in there are the names of His friends. People that in life chose to enter into relationship with Him. Not from anything they could do, but purely and simply based on what Jesus Christ has already done. He made it possible. It's a fairly long and complex story, but quite simply, Jesus died so that we wouldn't have to. Not an eternal death, which meant separation. Jesus was broken so that we could be whole. And the book with the names in it are the names of people that simply believed the claims of Jesus Christ, that came to God and said, God, I'm somebody that knows that I've got this God-shaped hole in my life, and I ask you to come in and change my life. Radically, completely from the inside out. Now I'm going to ask every person to pray just for a moment. I'm going to wait a maximum of 20 seconds. But I'm going to ask this question. If you're in this room and what I've just said explains where you're at in life, you've never ever done it, but you've been thinking about this, maybe reading the Bible from time to time, turning Christian radio on, talking to people, searching for God, and there's this feeling that you've found Him. Never done it. Or perhaps you once knew what it was to be a real friend with God, but you know God didn't move, but you did, and you got right away from Him. And tonight you're saying, I'm ready to come home. I want to connect with God. If I'm talking to you, that's just putting the words exactly describing your circumstance. Raise your eyes, look at me, and raise your hand. Say, pray for me. Right where you are, I'm going to pray for you, my friend. You say, yeah, tonight's the night for me to connect with God. I want my name in that book. Wonderful. That's so good. Good for you. How many others? Just raise your hand. Oh, look me in the eye. Say, yeah, include me in that. I'm going to pray for you right where you are. Thanks. So good. Wonderful. How many others? Just raise your hand straight up. At the end, the pastor's probably going to give you some material and some encouragement, but right where you stand, I want to pray for you right here, right now. One more time, I'm going to look across this auditorium and I'm going to pray. If you want to be included in that prayer, say, Wayne, I want my name in that book. I want to become a friend with God tonight. Not tomorrow, now. How many others? Just raise your hand up and say, yeah, that's me. Include me in that as well. I'm going to pray. Who else? God, I thank you for those that have already responded. Everyone matters to you. And we thank you. Thank you that they had the courage to do what in their heart they knew they should. And I pray from this night on they would know the power of your forgiveness, the power and strength of your Holy Spirit, doing a work in them, with them, and for them. In Jesus' name. At the end of the meeting, Clive, will you be the... Where's Clive? At the end of the meeting, in fact, we're in a moment, we're going to pray for some folks. And if you raised your hand, tell the person beside you. If you wish you had, tell the person beside you, and they will come with you to go and meet Pastor Clive. And he's got... You got some books or something there you're going to give him, buddy? And he'll help you. Listen, they're not going to do anything weird. They're not going to make you, you know, buy a suit and a bicycle. No, not nothing like that. It's going to help you. If you would like, if you raised your hand just then, just tell the person beside you. They'll come with you. Just over to see Clive. Some people did that. Now, team, I want you to sing that song a couple more times. I'm done. But I'm going to ask the leadership of the church and pastors here to pray with some folks. Because... while we're worshiping, I know the voice of God at times begins to really powerfully speak to me. Two groups of people, and this is all we're going to pray for. It's people that are carrying long-term illnesses that have believed a negative report, be it incurable, be it impossible to treat. You've had that word in your heart about healing, but I don't know what happened, but you tonight are saying, God, I'm going to come out because the Bible says I'm healed. I accept it in Jesus' name. And I'm just coming. I'm coming in faith. Doesn't even make sense. But you're God. And some of us, there's just that cloud. Some of us, that there's in that whole healing thing, there's this thing of, well, you know, your family, you know, in your family, there's this thing. And there's a declaration over your family, cancer, heart problems, diabetes. It's just a tova. And you say, I'm rejecting that. And I'm going to step into health. I'm going to claim it. I'm going to claim the declarations of the Word of God over my family and the generations that follow. It might be one or it might be 21. I don't know. There's also another group of pastors and leaders from churches here. A declaration. You're in the pastor's graveyard. You're in a difficult town. This church is tough. This area is tough. You never can. You can't. You won't. And something's happening in your heart tonight. You know you're going to return in the power of the Spirit with a fresh sense of, I know what God says. And I'm going to ask you just to come as we sing this song. I may not even personally pray for anybody, but even in coming, there's a declaration of I declare, I know what God says, and I believe it in Jesus' name. Now, three groups are coming. Healing, leaders, and some folks that said yes to God tonight. If you raised your hand or wish you had of, please, on your own or with the person beside you, go and see Pastor Clive. Let's begin to worship God. Respond. God knows. God knows what's going on in your heart. Just get action your faith right now. Begin to come. Just step out of your chair and respond in Jesus' name.